Dude, and I don't want to ruin it.
You don't want to ruin the good mood you're in.
Yes,
I don't think anybody listening to this podcast believes you. I have this capacity, Greg.
What, that I'm in a good mood?
No, you usually listen. I'm the happy one. You're the grumpy one.
Sure, but I'm not. I didn't say I was talking about wrestling.
No, I'm in a good. Well, actually, I have a pain in my neck. Well, I've had a pain in my ass all day, but today I had a pain in the neck.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about me here. That I'm the pain in your neck.
No, pain in my neck. I went to physio this week, and I now know what my wife means, because sometimes you go to physio and you're like, have somebody just do massage therapy and you feel better.
Right, right.
Yeah, this one is one of those ones where it's like, oh no, there was something really wrong, and thank God she fixed it before it got worse.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that they fixed, your crap before they made it worse.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to talk about it. The only pain in the ass this week was Nintendo and trying to get a Switch.
So we're calling tonight's episode Tables, Ladders, and Switch 2. Because, man, oh man, this was... Yeah, I swear, I'm sure there was Royal Rumbles that broke out this week for Switch 2s.
And this is where the music plays.
Casting sports entertainment is Brad, the dad, and father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
And Greg and I just finished bobbing our heads. Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for the Hub Sports and Entertainment Network. I am Brad the Dad, and running shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
And we had our own war with Nintendo this week. We both survived our matches and now are proud owners, or will be as of June 5th, proud owners of Switch 2s.
I can't remember. When is the actual release date?
June 5th.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I thought it was like a Thursday or Friday.
June 5th is a Thursday.
Is it?
Yeah. So mailed... It may be June 4th. Mine doesn't say I'm going to get it any closer than June 5th because of I ordered mine online.
Yeah, so tell your story and I can tell mine. And I'm actually kind of glad that I didn't do what I was probably going to do.
Okay, so I start by reading the email about noon. This was after massage therapy, after I picked my car up from the shop. I take Thursday off. Manny and I are sitting there, and I realize that GameStop has placed their Switches on sale as store opens across North America.
Yes.
And which meant that you had to be at the mall at 8 a.m. if you were going to get one.
No, sir. No, that's not the fact.
No, I know afterwards that there were still some available in store across Canada.
There was. But so here's how my day started is I didn't stay up because some places they went online like the night before or like the Thursday night or whatever it was, Wednesday night, whatever it was. And I missed... I was probably going to go the Costco route, and I missed the Costco launch, which I'm very thankful now I did. But we'll get to that in a second. So I get up in the morning, and I'm getting ready to go do things, and I already see online that, Costco had sold out, and this place had sold out. I'm like, damn it, I didn't want to miss this. I already had, that Nintendo Evite come in, or set myself up for that Nintendo invitation. But then I started to be like, okay, well, how am I going to get this done? So I waited for the Best Buy launch, which I think was at 10 a.m. our time.
Yep. I think it was when the Best Buy. 1 o'clock our time.
Was it 1 o'clock our time?
You had to be logged in and had an account created before that. But that I only know that because of what happened.
So whatever it was, yeah, because I ended up getting in queue or whatever for that one. I'd missed the Amazon online pre-sale. And I was like, well, where the hell am I going to get this? And like, I was trying everything. Like, I didn't know where I was going or what I was going to do with this. And I was actually kind of thinking my wife was going to lose it if she didn't have one kind of for launch day. But she was very cool. She's like, no, it's okay. Like, you know, we'll get one when we get one. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like you. Like, I know you love the Nintendos. And like, I was really actually pretty anxious that I couldn't get one. But then later in the day, I saw that I could go on Amazon and get the invite to purchase one. So I put myself in the invite there, and I knew I had one on the Nintendo website direct. So I'm like, at some point we'll get one. It'll be fine. But I kind of had made my peace with it. But I was in the Best Buy queue. And when I finally got to the Best Buy website to actually go and make a purchase, nothing showed up. The website was blank. The first part of the website, it was crashed. And then eventually it got to the you're in a virtual queue. But at one point I even called EB Games in the mall and was talking to them. And I'm like, you know, how, like, I'm assuming you guys are all sold out of pre-orders. He's like, no, we're not. But we've had people lined up here since 6 a.m. So they were in the mall at 6 a.m., 3 hours before the mall opened, lined up for pre-orders for Switch 2. And when I was talking to him, he's like, yeah, there's still a lineup, and we've given up trying to count how many people are in lineup, but we're still taking orders at this point in store. And I'm like, okay. And I was thinking about doing the GameStop online order, but like, they wanted obviously half the price as a down payment, which, okay, whatever. But also, it's a company that is trying to exit the Canadian market. And you're like, well, do you really want to go and pay for half a Switch? Then you may or may not get it. Like, well, legitimately, I'm like,
and I had that one open in the queue and I never saw the end of the queue.
Yeah. So I ended up, you know, resigning myself to when I went to bed on Thursday night without a Switch 2 on order. So, Brad, why don't you take over to where you are at this point? Because I know your story has some activity on Thursday, while I did not have any more, just resigned myself.
So Thursday, I was in the queue online. Maddie and I both had different browsers open. We each had a Best Buy and an EB Games. I had done the same thing Greg did. I set up an Amazon one. And I actually get queued through pretty quickly. I get to the part, I fill my cart, I get the Switch, I get a camera, I get a controller, the Mario Kart bundles on my Switch. I go to pay, and my payment won't process. So I'm like, okay, I'll try my... I didn't have my Visa handy, and it wasn't programmed into my computer because it's a new Visa. So I went and I just went to PayPal because my PayPal is already hooked up with the new Visa. Wouldn't process that payment. Wouldn't process my Visa. So then I'm stuck. So I can see it in my cart. And so I call Maddie, and Maddie calls the guy online. She's wonderful. Her name's Michelle. She's like, okay, do you have an account as well? Does your daughter have an account? I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, here, Maddie, log into your account. I'll move it to your account. And so Maddie goes through, she puts in my Visa, she pays for it. She has no problems. I'm fiddling around with my cart this whole time. And I can't. So here's the punchline. You ready? We queued twice with Best Buy. Now, Maddie, it went through right away. But I queued into buying a Switch, and then I queued into a lineup to pay for the Switch, and then I got stuck there. I ended up getting, in Maddie's order, we got the Switch. In my order, I went back and bought the accessories later because that didn't seem like the problem. Apparently, Best Buy's website was, if you try to process a PayPal account, it was crashing the system because their accounts going out to another server was causing their system there. Yeah. GameStop, dude, I'm an EB like black card member. I got put into a 15-minute queue. Maddie's not a member. She got put into a 2-hour and 32-minute queue. And neither of us ever saw the end of those queues.
Right. So it's just like,
hold on.
Ended up procuring one.
Yeah, I did get one through Best Buy and the accessories. Now here's the punchline. I checked on EB's website, the in-store orders were showing as available in four places in Halifax as of late Friday night. So when I went to bed, that's why I texted you on Friday morning to say, did you get a Switch? But I was behind on the group chat.
Yes, because I woke up early Friday morning. I'm getting up, getting ready to head to the office. Then I check my email before I go grab a shower. And what's waiting for me is a message from Amazon saying, hey, you're invited to actually go through and pick up your purchase now for your Nintendo Switch 2. I, too, had bought the wished for the Mario Kart bundle ones. So I went and purchased that right away. And so I sent a text message out, and like literally seconds later, I get a message from Brad asking me if I got one. I'm like, yeah, just scroll up, dude, like in the group chat, because you messaged me directly. I'm like, so that's when he saw, yeah, no, we've got ours. So, yeah, both of us, we've got Switches coming for June 5th, and, you know, life is good in the world. We did not order any of the accessories yet. I don't know if we will or won't, but at least for now, we've got the basic Switch 2 and that game. And, I mean, we can use some basic controllers for now if we want to get more controllers later. I don't know if we're going to do the camera.
The camera is just because the kids are obsessed with the idea of playing Mario Kart online with the camera. That is the thing.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I don't like to game against, like, I don't do online gaming. So to me, it doesn't matter.
It's also a big thing with party. And so, I know you guys are not a Mario Party family. So we are those nerds.
We do. We actually enjoy it, but we like, yeah, I mean, when you're all in the room with each other, like, do you really need to see yourself on camera when you can just look at the person and be like, huh, you're an idiot and you just lost?
Oh, there's some stop motion games, Greg.
No.
Well, no. It all worked out in the end. I have nothing nice to say about EB Games. I do think Amazon system is the most superior one, though, even though I didn't get one that way. Because I think Amazon, the way they did it was they queued you up during the day. And Basically, if you could go get somewhere else, but Amazon would send you an invite and then basically first come, first serve.
Yeah, you had 22 hours to accept the invite. And if you didn't, then it would move on to the next group. But like when you did that queue up initially, it was like this invite request is good for 3 months. So we'll go through our stock and then we'll let those people get their Switches. And then if we run out of stock, then we get more stock in, you know, we'll queue up the next batch. But yeah, just before we went to go ahead.
You went to record, you were looking and there's Switches available somewhere, isn't there?
No. I was going to say, just before we went to record tonight, I sent a note to Brad and said, thank God I didn't pull the trigger on Costco, going back to that part of the story, because apparently Costco has now canceled all their pre-orders.
Wow. Why?
Apparently the product is out of stock, and I guess they weren't getting what they thought they were getting. And Costco, apparently, again, I don't know for sure, but yeah, I sent you a note, but that like there's legit Costco is canceling their orders.
Well, and the same thing happened with Target in the States, that there are people who had one and thought they paid for, even some people who paid deposits who had to be refunded.
Yeah, see, that's unfortunate.
That's bull crap is what it is.
Yeah.
So well, that's the Switch report for this week on the podcast. For more on this breaking news, you can Google angry, just Google Switch 2 on X and watch the chaos.
Yeah. Honestly, that's... that happened this week. I mean, there's a lot of there was a lot of world news that happened this week. So, you know, you had the Switch 2 come out. I mean, tomorrow morning as we talk is like 3 hours from now. You got the Pope's funeral, like
hockey playoffs in Canada.
I mean, we didn't even cover that. Like, so, I mean, first two games of my Montreal Canadiens did not go as I had hoped. They came back home tonight to the Centre Bell, and I did not catch this at the beginning, but apparently the initial video was done by one Montreal area native Kevin Owens was the voice of the intro video tonight in the Bell Center. So, yeah, that's always fun with the WWE tie-in. And then, of course, there was actually a brawl at the end of the second period. But Montreal ended up pulling out a big win tonight. And, you know, it's a 2-1 series now for Washington.
And the dream is alive.
The dream stays alive. Tomorrow, Thunderbirds have their very first home playoff game ever here in Halifax. So the Nest will be rocking tomorrow night. So it's a good weekend. I mean, a good mood. And
we had a good SmackDown.
I thought we had a pretty good SmackDown. I mean, there's some things on here that I think we could have done without, but
dude, we didn't get what we could have gotten, which was, I mean, we didn't get the Raw after WrestleMania level show, but this was, given the fact that we all cooled off over the week, this was not a bad show.
It was serviceable. It was definitely serviceable. I legit was getting nervous as I was watching on delay, because honestly, I watched the Habs game first. Brad had to wait for about 10 minutes for me to catch up. But I legitimately, as I was going through this, you know, and then we got the semi-main event tonight, and I was like, are they going to forget, even though they kind of teed it up at the start of the show, that we're supposed to have that TLC match later? And did the main event get cut for this LA Knight, Drew McIntyre semi-main? And
did John Cena and Randy Orton run over their time allotment?
Well, that's where I was really wondering, because we started tonight with John Cena and Randy Orton, and all I could do is hear in my head, all I could hear was Elvis saying, a little less conversation, a little more action.
Oh, you and I are going to fight then. All right, recap one. It's WrestleMania highlights. I was going to sing that whole song, but I decided not to, because nobody wants to hear me sing. John Cena then comes out. I actually love this. I was telling my wife about how much like his entrance is and how much I love it. And she smart ass says, yeah, but how am I supposed to take him serious as a heel? He's still wearing his lime green shirt.
Fruit Loops. That's what my wife calls her, Fruit Loops.
Well, John Cena made the ring announcer redo the entrance because he didn't think he did a good enough job.
Which I love that bit.
And then Randy Orton comes out and he's trying to talk sense to John Cena. You know, we've been knowing each other for 25 years. In a couple months, it'll be 25 years since we first shook hands. And one thing I loved about you is that you never changed in 25 years. You were always the same. And that's not an insult. You were about that hustle, loyalty, and respect. But something's broken inside of you.
I thought he meant that, yeah, you've been a dick for 25 years. You just did it well on TV.
And then he's like, there's a void. You used to love children and motivate them. So many people looked up to you. And, you know, you granted all those wishes. And I know that you had a heart for those kids. I think there's a void in you. You know what? I think you need kids is what Randy Orton suggests to John Cena. And at this point.
At this point, this is when Heath Slater comes out.
No, this is the point where I'm like calling back to his breakup with Nikki Bella on Total Bellas, going, does he made his feeling about kids pretty clear. Yeah. And then he says, I can't have kids of my own because I've been raising everybody else's kids for the last 25 years.
It was such a brilliant line. But all I could think of at this was like, I got kids.
Oh, all I was thinking about was John Cena going, I've been a better parent to your kids than you ever have. And I'm dying laughing out loud, like belly laughing. And then he calls out the loser dad in the front row. Then when the six-year-old flips him off, he says, look, your kid's giving me the finger. This is what's wrong. And he calls them brats. And hey, kid, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Randy says, do you have Hollywood brain rot? These fans are the reason we're here. These fans are the reason WWE is here. And you're in Hollywood because of your WWE career. And you need to get a perspective. I'm like a piece of furniture and you're a guest. And that's when Cena snaps and says, you're calling me a guest? In the same breath, these people chant, let's go Cena, Cena sucks. And they've been telling me I suck for 25 years. These fans don't mean anything to me and you're a hypocrite. you've been calling me a guest. I'm in a dysfunctional relationship with them, and I'm in a dysfunctional relationship with you. And it's stupid on my part to try and do this. You trying this whole bad guy, good guy thing. And then Randy Orton says, you know what? Cody's kick-ass song has an awesome line. There's more than one royal family. My family is one of those royal families. I have known wrestling since I came out of the womb. It is provided for me. It's provided for my family and will provide for my family long after they put me in the ground. And if you're going to try and take ruin wrestling, it's going to be over my dead body. And then Cena basically says he's leaving and he's going to erase everything, including the Orton family legacy. God damn, like this thing. And Randy wants a match, and Cena says, no, but I've been protecting you for 25 years, and I'm going to save your ass one last time. We'll have this match at Backlash in your hometown. I want you to spend the whole day with your family. I want no excuses. I want you well rested. So when I put you down, you can see me leave, because this is as close as you're going to get to the title. He then throws it at Randy and cheap shots him, and the fight's on. Randy eventually ducks Cena trying to attack him with the title belt, and we get an RKO, and Randy Orton holds up the title, and Wade Barrett on commentary, John Cena brought a knife to a gunfight. Greg, you may not have liked this, but you're wrong. This was the best part of the show.
It was just a little too long, if I'm honest, right? It dragged a little for me, just based on the length of this. But it was enjoyable in parts. But yeah.
No, you're wrong. This was the best part of the show. Randy Orton and John Cena throwing barbs. Like, they could have done the whole SmackDown like this. I didn't need the wrestling. I got what I wanted, which was John Cena and Randy Orton losing their minds.
Oh, I kind of hope that John Cena comes out of Backlash with a cowboy Bob Orton cast on.
I hope John Cena comes out and one of Randy's kids are in the front row and he spits on them or something. Like, this boy, I want full-on crazy John Cena. And Randy Orton telling John Cena, what you really need to do is have some kids.
Yeah.
He didn't watch Total Divas. He doesn't know John Cena has a vasectomy.
I got kids.
Randy's got kids and John Cena's got race cars.
I guess so.
Dear God. And then meanwhile, offered up on the sacrificial altar of a debut, Legado del Fantasma is out. The Garzas are going to have a match against Fraxium.
Yes, Fraxium.
Nathan Frazier and Axiom, Fraxium, former NXT titles. As soon as they lost those titles, you might as well put a giant sign above them at NXT. Going to the main roster. Going to the main roster. Going to the main roster. Why are they on our show, though? Because Raw has no tag teams.
I don't understand.
Well, they fit in on this show because they are an excellent high-flying tag team, along with a whole roster of great tag teams.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
So this match was all about Frazier and Axiom showing off their stuff. The abdominal stretch quick kick, the two dives to the outside. At one point, the Garzas hit rally. They isolate Frazier. They pick him up and do their like forward toss off the top ropes, but that only gets two. And at one point, Frazier is just flying. He is so fast. And we end this match with a Spanish fly, Phoenix splash combination by Fraxium. And 1-2-3, NXT is undefeated on their debut. Greg, you haven't seen a lot of Fraxium. This team is ridiculously fast.
Oh, I believe it.
Did you enjoy their debut?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was a good match.
Which team do you want them to match up with on SmackDown?
Honestly, I think Motor City Machine Guns.
Oh, that match will be like, don't blink.
No.
The other one I'm dying to see the matchup with will be someone like Miz and Mello, where you're going to have a totally different style, like something that's way slower.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be an interesting one.
So how many weeks till they get to tag titles?
Well, I'm surprised they didn't win them this week because, I mean, we have that precedent.
Yeah, usually they get him pretty quick. And what did Legato do to piss off everybody?
That's a really good question. It's a really good question.
They can't win.
No.
If you're Legato, are you lobbying for one of those spots at Triple Mania? Maybe a stay down in Mexico and working AAA events?
I wouldn't put it past them.
They could use the refresh. What time is it, Greg?
Oh, it's almost time for bed.
No.
It's tiffy time.
I mean that too.
My autocorrect turned it to stiffy time. Both those things do apply.
That's. Do you know what? I already made that joke tonight in a group chat.
I know. That's why I had to share it online. She won in front of 60,000 people. She proved that she's great.
And she still has the scar to prove it above her eye.
Oh my God, that bump on her head.
Yeah.
Well, Charlotte Flair was nowhere to be found, and I'm not complaining. She beat her, and out comes Jade, and I'm like, oh, sweet baby Jesus. You have a big knot on your head. You're going to have a bigger one after this match.
Well, I kind of thought to myself, I'm like, well, let's see how this is not going to finish.
Yeah, it was almost a repeat of what happened with the Raw Dogs. By the way, if you want to hear more from the Raw Dogs, Eric B. and Randy C., tune in here on the Hub Sports Entertainment Network and listen to Draw Straws Raw, the best or worst review on the internet of Monday Night Raw, depending on who you ask.
That's fair.
The reviewers on the things like Spotify seem to think it's a pretty good podcast.
I always think it's a pretty good podcast.
They may need to change their tagline.
And involve more talking about roast beef, fresh roast beef.
What's in the theme song? So I guess you have to.
All right.
Tiffy and Jade, that's our match. Sure. There's a lot of cool stuff in this match. You should go back and check it out. Tiffy's arm drag out of a net, arm drag out of a, like a splash was really cool. I really enjoyed when Tiffy slipped and doing the moonsault and they kind of just worked with it. I don't know if that was a purposeful botch or an accidental botch. And she rolls through after she misses. And when Tiffy tries to cartwheel Alabama Slam and she just catches her and tosses her in the air for the powerbomb, I was like, oh my gosh, like you forget Jade is not the world's greatest wrestler. Boy, oh boy, she does have skill.
She does.
And power. For like Wade Barrett on commentary says, a God-given gift. And that's the only way to describe this. But we're not getting a finish. Naomi comes down and starts punching. And I'm using air quotes, Greg. Did she actually make any contact? Or was this like something that you usually have to pay a OnlyFans subscription to see?
Yes, one of those things are true.
She was bouncing on Jade at one point. And if I could find that later, I will definitely be making this with our talking about this as our social this week. Because this was ridiculous.
On so many levels.
And just when we think, you know, Tiffy came back in to save Jade. We're fine. The clouds have cleared. We have a Charlotte-free SmackDown. Nope, we get Nia Jax.
Nia's back. Fresh off that roast of WrestleMania.
Fresh off of I don't give a crap, go away.
I kind of expected to have her back here at this point, but I'm not at that level yet.
Oh, I've been at that level for about 10 years. If I had a rich and famous cousin, maybe I could get a job at WWE and clearly not, you know what direction you're supposed to go to when you go to the gym.
I mean, I'm not even going to touch it. I'm not going to now. I changed my mind.
Well, Nia Jax makes me sad, Greg. It's Friday, literally. I have a beverage next to me. She has driven me to drink.
I'm in a good mood, Brad.
Well, I got more. Well, I was fine. The rest of this was fine. Just Nia Jax being back like you basically pissed on my cornflakes.
Yeah, well.
Okay, let's keep going then. Let's go back to the things that were making us happy, Greg. Hey, US title, the Samoan werewolf comes out. And I just love his entrance. And he's coming out. I love the way he wore the title. He wore it around his neck like a badass.
And wearing like a football jersey?
That said Fatu on it.
Yeah.
He just looked like a thug. And yeah, he is a thug. I love how Solo took credit for nobody wanting him in the company. And he brought him in. And that's why he's the champ. And Jacob just grabs the mic. It's like, I'm the champ because I said I wanted to be the champ. And I said, I would do it with you or without you. And I brought the title back to the family. I'm America's most wanted. And you better respect that. I'm all gas, no brakes. And that's when LA Knight interrupts. And I'm like, dude, bro's got flow going. No. But LA Knight doesn't disappoint. He cuts a promo. He says, hey, man, I caught you. If you were closer to the ropes, this wouldn't have happened. And then Drew interrupts. He says, we're not going to see. I love his line. You know, my life's great. I'm big. I'm tall. I'm jacked. I'm handsome. I mean, Texas, look at these guns as he flexes. The crowd cheers. Yay, guns! Guns, Greg!
I was going to say, that's when you expect Yosemite Sam to take the pistols out of his pocket and start, or out of his holsters and start shooting.
I now want you, Drew McIntyre, as Yosemite Sam, go, yay, guns! He was going to go after Cena, but Randy Orton jumped in line. He's a Nepo baby. And speaking of Nepo babies, high bloodline.
Hold on. How many divorces?
How many divorces for who?
Well, the Nepo baby.
Randy Orton?
Well, I mean, we're talking about Nepo babies, Nepo queens, the numbers of divorces. Sorry, no, I thought we were talking about Charlotte again.
No, we were talking about the nepotism of Randy Orton. Although Randy Orton's had multiple wives, or at least multiple actors, play his wife on television.
I was going to say, ain't that the truth?
And LA Knight is lying there, like pretending to go to sleep. Drew McIntyre calls him out. He wants to fight the baddest champion. He wants Jacob. And your title run was a joke. LA Knight says, yeah. And then Nick Aldis does something useful. He's going to make a number one contender match later tonight.
That's right.
I've heard other people complain about this on other podcasts, and I think it's factual. Like, does Nick Aldis actually book SmackDown, or does he just wait for people to show up and say, I want to fight?
Yeah, basically.
It's like the easiest job on television, although it's a history. He's embodying the Teddy Long spirit of, I don't book all this crap. I know that people are going to come out and yell at each other, and I'm going to have to set stuff up. Speaking of you,
he just doesn't have to yell a holla holla player.
Or dance,
yeah.
Oh, we need Nick Aldis to dance. This would be so good. Zelina Vega is in the back. She's cutting a promo. She's going to get the title. She's going to bring it home. It's going to be a big title win. And that means Zelina Vega versus Chelsea Green. I could hear you sobbing through time and space, Greg, because I knew you were watching this on behind.
Yeah. I don't know.
She's won twice, and this is the third match. I like how Chelsea Seeger Hervis comes out and pats down the referee.
I'll save that comment for now.
Okay, so pat down. Chelsea Seeger Hervis attacks, but it doesn't matter. Chelsea gets frustrated because she can't put Zelina away. Zelina fights back. She has knees to the corner, a meteora. And when the Seeger Hervis tries to do it again, they get caught. Ryan Tran throws out the Seeger Hervis. Chelsea gets a slight bit distracted. This allows a code red out of nowhere. And Greg, Zelina Vega is your new women's U.S. championship.
So here's where I have questions. What is the point now of the Seeger Hervis?
Yeah, they better not break these girls up, because this was this act is awesome.
Well, now, like, where do we go, right? Like, this is the part I don't understand with any of this. is now that you've put the Secret Harvest, what's the point of having them if she's no longer the champion? So I don't get it. I don't get it. I haven't gotten a lot of this stuff lately. And I just, yeah. What do you do in WWE?
You move all three of them over to Raw and have, or you move Zelina over to Raw and bring Lyra over to SmackDown and they can win the IC title. It doesn't really matter. As long as she has a title.
Yeah.
Heck, we love Tiffy, but she can win that title at this point. As long as that title is and up on Nia Jax. I got a better one for you, Greg. Why would you want a giant Andre the Giant face hanging around your neck?
I've seen a lot of ugly things in my life, and this has to be the worst.
So Mello, recap on Mello winning the Andre the Giant title. Which, by the way, doesn't qualify you for a U.S. title match. It qualifies you to have a scene with The Miz, praises you, talking about how you're amazing. And Mello says, I feel like I'm 10 feet tall. I'm the 10th wonder of the world. And I am him. And The Miz says, you are right. And so that you can remember this Andre the Giant trophy and you don't have to carry it around, here's a giant face of Andre the Giant in a gold bust. You can wear it as a giant chain. Greg's just shaking his head like, what is he, Flava Flav?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
The Miz did two stupid things in one night. One, that chain. Two, coming out to the ring and complaining that he's a living legend and that he didn't get a WrestleMania match. He didn't get to fill in for Rey. He's like, what do I need to do? Put a lucha mask on and call myself Rey in order to get a WrestleMania match. Funny. He didn't get a match with Randy Orton. Instead, a TikTok meme, that would be Joe Henry, got that spotlight.
I was going to say, and at this point, I'm like, why the hell do they have Miz in the ring in an entirely white suit? And then I've remembered.
That there was a debut tease for weeks and weeks and weeks?
Yeah, and then I've remembered. I'm like, wait, hold on. Keep going.
You saw the candles. And then you remembered, and even better.
Nope, didn't see the candles.
I saw the candles, and then all I heard was the music, and I was like, oh my God, they didn't Def Rebel him. Somebody really likes his entrance. And the best part is the way Aleister Black comes out of the smoke, and he's in, got his hands crossed, and the thing slowly brings him up.
Yeah.
And his eyes open as if he's been asleep for 2 years, wasting his life in AEW. And Malakai, dead. Aleister, welcome back to SmackDown. And he comes out, does his cool entrance. Before Miz can even say a word, Black Mass, good night, sleep tight. And Aleister Black is back, Jack.
So in the previous segment, his wife ends up winning a title, and then he comes out and just decks the Miz.
That's like winning a title.
Yep. So here we are.
Aleister Black will be in the mix for a title very shortly.
Yep.
And we get to see this entrance on a regular basis. I forgot how cool his entrance was.
Yeah, and then the sitting cross-legged in the ring.
Oh, you know what? Maybe we can save the War Raiders and they can just be his creepy backup.
Could be.
They already kind of look the same. They're big dudes tatted up.
Well, yeah.
Sure. And when he turns heel, he can take the War Raiders. Bianca's all taped up. Apparently she broke her fingers. She's very proud of the match. She's sad that everything's broken, hinting to what's going on between her two friends on SmackDown. And she's going to go heel up. But when she comes back, she'll be back.
Be a lot funnier if she actually healed up.
I think she might be healing up when she comes back. I think her broken fingers may have thrown a monkey wrench into this heel turn.
Yeah.
Oh, and Nia Jax is back. That was our fourth recap, Greg. Oh, and Naomi and walks into Nia Jax, or Nia Jax walks into Naomi and says, don't get in my way, I want that title. And Naomi says, proceed with caution. Like she's a Def Rebel song and she can only say one catchphrase.
Yeah, fair.
Charlotte Flair's not here tonight, folks, so I have to make fun of something, and it's going to be Def Rebels' terrible theme songs. You know what isn't terrible? LA Knight or Drew McIntyre's theme song, because they were made before Def Rebel were there.
True.
So this match has a lot of cool stuff, but it doesn't really matter. Do you know why? Because outside interference, Samoan Spike, because Solo comes down to attack, and it looks like we're about to get kicked. Drew's going to take advantage of it and kick LA Knight in the head. Priest attacks him, and turns out that that Damian Priest gets Drew McIntyre disqualified, and Drew McIntyre is the number one contender for Solo's U.S. title, or for Jacob's U.S. title. Then Jacob comes flying out of into the screen. He takes out everybody. It's moonsaults. It's all Jacob. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jacob. So Drew McIntyre gets chokeslammed through the announce tacks by Damian Priest. And then Jacob takes out both Damian Priest and LA Knight. They're making a monster. And bad news for everybody else, it's Jacob Fatu.
You got some bad news for them?
I got some bad news. Hey, a Paul Heyman recap. Yeah. And Greg, I have you cheering from across the better part of the HRM, the Halifax Regional Municipality, as R-Truth and John Cena appeared on screen for the first time since the heel turn.
So I legit caught part of this, and then I was fast forwarding, and I had to rewind and go back to make sure I didn't miss any of it.
It was fantastic. John Cena's walking on his way out, and R-Truth walks up to him and says, "Hey man, if you ever need anything, just know that I always have your back." And then Jimmy walks in and goes, "John Cena, you have his back? Yeah, he's a great champion. And I want to be just like him when he grows up." And as he walks away, Jimmy's like, "Wait a second, you're already grown up, Truth."
Right.
We're going to build dread and disappointment until John Cena murders R-Truth, aren't we?
And I'm going to be so sad when that happens, but it's going to be amazing.
Is there a chance we're getting a SmackDown match with John Cena and R-Truth?
There should be.
Oh, he should wrestle all of his great opponents. R-Truth's one of them. Yeah. Like, dude, give me R-Truth. Give me CM Punk. Give me Randy Orton. Like, go through some of the greatest hits. Lose to some of the... put over, like, maybe lose a few more times. Lose to Drew McIntyre because you get screwed. That would be really funny. Like, there's some great stuff. So this is our main event tonight. And our main event tonight is brought to you by this commercial, and we'll do the recap after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Are you looking for the best Raw review on the internet, or the worst one, depending on who you ask? Check out Randy C and Eric B, the Raw Dogs. They'll be covering Monday Night Raw here on The Hub for Draw Straws Raw. And for your complete recap of all things AEW, listen here on The Hub to Sean and Ashley with a Dynamite Drop. They'll be dropping fresh new episodes Thursday nights or Friday mornings each week on The Hub. And so, Greg, you saw that like pause there. There's the commercial you'll have to listen to in post because I didn't put it in for you to listen to.
No, I was like, I'm waiting.
Nope. It's a surprise. I produced it today for you.
Excellent. And
now that you all know who this main event segment is brought to you by, we're going to go into the main event, the TLC, no commercial interruptions, DIY versus Motor City Machine Guns versus Street Profits. First of all, Greg, I noticed there were more commercials in the show. If it was all just so they didn't interrupt this match with commercials, bravo.
I'll on board with that.
Like, how am I supposed to recap this match?
I don't know if you can.
This match is insanity from wall to wall. I hope nobody got hurt.
I legit hope so as well.
There is ladders evolve very quickly. At one point, Ford dives underneath, like over a ladder, lands on his feet. there is just dive after dive to the outside. My favorite, one of my favorite spots was Dawkins getting hung in the tree of woe and then crotched by the Motor City Machine Guns as they both stomp down on his crotch while he's in the tree of woe. And then Ford comes running across the ring as all the other people are on the outside and dives over his tag partner, over the corner, into the outside. Shelly's screaming at this point because it looks like somebody landed on his arm. The couple of times they get up on top of the ladders and they're swinging. Johnny Gargano ends up taking a silencer. They like DIY has, oh my gosh, I'm trying to think of which one of the tag team partners it wasn't. It was Dawkins who was isolated, and they're going to put him through two chairs and they put the pointy ends together, and somehow Dawkins, thank God, fights out of it. And he drops Gargano on the pointy ends with the silencer. Like, it just, I had like three pages of notes here, Greg. I don't even know what to do with this match. Like, at this point, at a certain point, there's a ladder set up on the barricade outside that Ciampa eventually puts one of the Street Profits through that with, they called it the Celtic Cross, but it's, Ciampa calls it the Air Raid Crash. There was dives through tables. There was a swanton to the floor through a table. Like, it was just insanity. And then
I was going to say, did you cover the Skull and Bones to the, was it a table or a ladder outside?
It was to a table outside on Johnny Gargano by the by the Motor City Machine Guns. Like, just nuts. Ciampa at one point gets up to the top and is holding on to the titles and swinging as they take the ladder away from him. And so Dawkins is like, you know, it's a good idea. There's a table over there. I'm going to dive from one corner and I'm going to spear you through the table.
Through me there. Yeah.
While the Machine Guns are watching, laughing.
Right.
Just nuts. But that was a stupid move, because then the Machine Guns get up on top of the ladder. They get kicked off by Johnny Gargano. At the end, Ford ends up getting stuck in the ladder. And we have Gargano and I think it's Shelly climbing up. And Ford climbs at the outside, inside of the ladder, to push both guys off and grab the titles. And Wade, with the best line ever at the end of this match, when they're playing the recap, just replay the whole damn match. That's the recap.
Yeah.
There are so many spots in this match. Go back and watch this. This deserved to be on WrestleMania somewhere. This was maybe the best WrestleMania match, not on WrestleMania.
So this is why I kind of say what I said at the beginning of the show, that I think that I could have used a little less conversation, a little more action, because this to me was definitely the highlight of the show. And I could have watched this all night.
And you could tell that they decided that they had 20 minutes left to do this match, and they crammed 35 minutes of wrestling into 20 minutes.
Yep.
They didn't sell a lot. And I, other than what probably actually hurt.
Yep. Yep.
Greg, this was insanity. And yep. New Day, War Raiders, no disrespect, this was the WrestleMania tag match.
Ain't that a fact?
Well, they didn't have Clash of Clans sponsoring their match. So this is, and maybe next year Clash of Clans should send this to Clash of Clans. Dear Clash of Clans, this is the match you should have sponsored.
I was going to say, but didn't Clash of Clans sponsor the WrestleMania one too with War Raiders?
Yes, and this should have been the match they sponsored at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Just because the War Raiders look like they came out of Clash of Clans doesn't mean that they have to be at WrestleMania. All right, Greg, let's take it to the synopsis.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
And I'm going to go with the Yaboo theme for tonight, Greg. So if you add it.
Here's the thing. Didn't Wade Barrett already do this for us?
What do you mean?
In the end of that last match, shouldn't he say that the synopsis for this is just watch the whole damn thing?
Wow. So, I mean, if you just want to say, go back and watch this episode of SmackDown.
I mean that one match.
Greg, I thought Greg was going to be like, hey, we're done. This show was great. Go back and watch the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
Greg, I'm not giving you any wiggle room to this time. John Cena, Randy Orton promo. No, I'm not doing it on principle. That's a...
If you're not giving me the wiggle room, then I'm going to cut it.
Well, that's because you have no best part of the show.
Not even close. The last match was the best part of the show, Brad.
Oh, I laughed harder at this part and popped harder. So you can have your ladder match. I'll have my John Cena, Randy Orton fighting on the mic. How about
we're not as far as the Tiffy Stratton match for you to pop harder.
Oh, well, I'm sure Eric popped really hard for the Tiffy Stratton match. Let's talk about Fraxium versus Legado. What do you want to do?
Keep this.
Okay, I'll split this up. Tiffy promo.
Yeah, we'll keep it.
Tiffy Jade match.
Yeah, sure.
Greg, you're known to be grumpy. Where's grumpy Greg?
It's again, Brad, we have a rule. We don't cut Tiffy unless we absolutely had to. We had to break that rule at WrestleMania.
What about the showdown to set up the US title stuff with the Samoan Werewolf Solo, all that stuff? Man, I should have picked more than one positive sound for tonight. How about Selena Vega versus Chelsea Green?
Well, there, you don't need a positive sound here because this is stupid.
Miz and Carmelo backstage wearing the worst jewelry ever.
Oh, hit that button again.
Murder, death, kill Miz with Aleister Black.
Yeah.
I knew you wouldn't cut this. Aleister Black's theme song alone, dude.
Yeah, definitely.
LA Drew McIntyre with the schmaltz finish. What do you want to do with the boys?
Let's keep it.
And I'm going to change the rule for the last match. But before that, we have Truth and John Cena backstage.
Oh, keeping that.
And in honor of our friend Eric, what do you want to do with TLC with DIY Motor Guns and the Street Profits, where the Street Profits retain and are still your tag champs?
Go for it.
This Rebel Heart!
So, Greg?
The only thing on this show that I would have caught is them having Chelsea Green lose, because it makes absolutely no sense.
And you would have tightened up the first promo segment. Yeah. Yeah, so basically, this was a Raw after, this was a SmackDown after WrestleMania A1 Matt thing.
Yep.
Greg, and with that, we both are away next week, so we don't have a podcast.
That's
We're leaving the best show, and I feel like what's going to happen is they're like, you're not going to watch it, it's going to be even better, but the week when you come back, it's going to be crap.
Yeah, so Brad and I are both away next week. We both have conflict, so we'll not be putting out a show next week. We will plan to be back 2 weeks from now, which is when is that? I don't even know.
May 10th, just before Mother's Day.
Okay, so that's when we plan to be back, and May 9th, May 10th weekend. And I'll get a couple more in before I have to take a little hiatus. But yeah.
Oh, well, it is the season to travel, apparently, at least for my job. And yeah. And Greg is into lacrosse season on dad duty. So yeah, we don't miss very many episodes. I don't have a year, Greg, but I'm going to miss not doing a podcast with you, buddy.
Listen, we'll be talking, I'm sure, and we'll catch everyone up if there was anything major that happened, and
we'll make fun of, and if Charlotte Flair shows up, we'll be there to make divorce jokes. Don't worry,
we got you covered.
And speaking of having you covered, we have more coming up here on the network this week, where you can listen to the Raw Review, which is better known as Draw Straws Raws with Randy C and Eric B, and also the Dynamite Drop, and more to come here on the Hub. I am Brad, he is Greg, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time. Be the ones.
revolutionary podcast in sports entertainment. Father Greg and Brad, the dad bless you all with the lovely tales. A Friday night, SmackDown and beyond. Go to the outer limits of your mind with the SmackDaddies. The Greg and Brad, the